Ricardo Moretti, South Africa's 2026 budget has made healthcare a headline priority with billions allocated to strengthen the public system that serves more than 84% of the population. The government has an earmarked 21.3 billion rands for the employment and compensation of doctors, alongside measures to address shortfalls in essential goods and services. But the real test lies beyond the numbers. Will this investment translate into shorter waiting times, better access to specialists, and affordable care for working South Africans? To unpack what these allocations means in practice for young professionals, families, and the broader health system, we are joined now by Craig Cromery, CEO of ProfMed, one of the South Africa's leading restricted medical schemes for professionals. Good evening and welcome to Jose FM.
Hi, good evening, Colin. Good to be with you.
Craig, what does this budget mean for the young professionals accessing healthcare?
Well, firstly, if we look at the whole of South Africa, the main issue is that we don't have enough resources available to provide access to healthcare for everybody in South Africa. And so the investment, as indicated by the minister, is very welcome. We've seen over the past few years community service doctors exiting that service and then not being employed. And so can you imagine in a country where we have high unemployment rates and we have the most highly skilled doctors in the world, we just don't have the finances and the funding to employ them. And so the budget is very welcome in terms of redirecting money towards these doctors' employment. And so we look forward to that happening. And as doctors are employed, and as people are looking for access to healthcare, hopefully these doctors will enter both the public sector and even the private sector, and reduce the expensive costs that it is to access these doctors.
Now, you know, how could, Craig, just help me, how could funding for doctors strengthen overall healthcare delivery?
It is a matter of supply and demand. And so what we have in South Africa compared to the rest of the world is a significant fewer number of doctors per 1,000 members. In fact, our doctors is 0.3 of a doctor per 1,000 population, while you would find in the rest of the world they actually have almost five times that many. So this, the world healthcare standards actually indicate that you should have three doctors for every 1,000 population. And so we need to correct that balance. But what we don't have is sufficient funding, and the funding isn't used efficiently to actually make sure that we have doctors available to those that need that help.
Now, Craig, are there enough doctors in South Africa, or is it a political issue that we don't have doctors? Doctors are all over, I mean, they're going abroad to pursue different, you know, professions and all that. Are we have enough pool of doctors to say, if things were done right, we could have a better healthcare system?
Yeah, I think what we have seen is that we probably have enough GPs in South Africa, but we don't have enough specialists. So when you look at the public sector and even the private sector, if you try and get a dermatology appointment, you're waiting 8 or 9 months. And it's similar in other specialties, in pediatrics and so forth. So we've seen the queues that we used to see in the public sector, we've seen the waiting lists actually grow even in the private sector, just because there aren't enough resources. Now, if you change that and you make sure that there is an oversupply or a supply of doctors, that means that the doctors will naturally charge less when you access their services. And perhaps even the public sector would compete to actually bring the specialists into the public sector. So in that way, we actually want to create supply to drive better access to healthcare. And that's what we've been missing the last few years. The debates around things like NHI have disappeared or have dominated the debates of us actually producing and holding doctors. So we have a unique situation, and I'm the CEO of ProfMed. We look after, we actually started by doctors getting together and trying to look after their families and creating a medical scheme to look after their families, we noted for the last 5 years the number one reason that doctors leave our scheme is that they are immigrating. And so you can see the demand worldwide for these highly skilled doctors is there since COVID. In fact, there's big holes in the supply chains in other countries and developing countries. And so they come and pick out our doctors who are immigrating. And so we need to do better to hold on to those key resources.
Now, things like budget, does it signal, what does it signal about overall state of South Africa's health system?
Well, I think that the very positive thing is that we know where the problem is and we know the supply is problematic. And so the minister has allocated a very specific amount, 21 billion rand, towards employing more doctors in the country. So that's in the public sector service, so more doctors available in the public sector, plus some money to actually fund the infrastructure requirements to improve the healthcare capacity in the public sector. And even us in the private sector, we want that to happen. We want people in South Africa to get easier access to these facilities, to get access to clean, well-supplied specialists and doctors that are available even in the public sector. We know that a healthy country means that it's easier to produce more. So your growth in a country will then improve as the health of the country improves as well.
Now, why is prevention investment critical for a younger working population?
It's a very important thing. One of the real problems that we have in certainly in the private healthcare space is that we have a aging population, and it's similar to other places in the world where there are aging populations. And typically what we see is that the aging populations tend to utilize, so they go to the doctor a little bit more often than a younger person would. And so that puts more strain on the limited resources that we have. And so the way you try and address what we call the utilization problem is that you create benefits and you'd redirect some of your healthcare funding to promote preventative care and healthy behavior. And that way, what happens is people use fewer doctors. They need fewer doctor appointments. And so it relieves and takes pressure off the whole health system, including the requirements for funding, whether it's out of the public purse or out of the private contributions to medical schemes, etc. So all in all, it will actually be able to hold the health inflation, which we often have seen in the last 10 years. It's almost 10% or double what normal inflation is. So while people are earning maybe 4% higher than last year, health inflation for last year actually is running at about 7 or 8%. So we really have to stem that type of inflation. The only way you can really do it is healthy behavior, proper preventative care early on in life.
How can medical schemes complement the public health care improvements?
Well, I think one of the key issues is that, and it has been a buzzword for many years, but we have our offices right next to one of the best public-private partnerships that there are in the country, and that's the Wits Donegordon. And so you have a teaching capacity within a private sector partnered health facility, which has actually been hugely successful. And what we need to do from the private sector is open up the opportunities to bring in some of the public sector needs and vice versa. There are some really centers of excellence, places in the public sector where the hospitals are really very well run that have capacity, and all you may need is a specialist or a surgeon to come in from the private sector to work in those facilities. And in those type of partnership conversations, we believe you can unearth about 20 or 30% capacity available in the complete health system. And that should be a target as we try work together and improve health for the country.
And how will this funding address disparities between urban and rural healthcare facilities where access of doctors and specialists remains uneven?
It's always a big problem trying to find a doctor who's willing to practice in a rural space when in one of the urban areas there is more than sufficient funding to actually have the doctor open up his surgery or practice. And so it is a very difficult space. And in the past, there's been specific incentives to try and attract the doctors to the rural areas. But I think it's more of a social issue that we really need to get hold of. And things like crime in rural spaces need to be addressed as well, as much as infrastructure needs to be addressed in those rural areas. And so there are partnerships that can happen. Sometimes there's a private doctor who sits closer to the rural area than a public sector doctor sits. And so there is a cross-pollination and even a partnership approach that can happen. But we need to create platforms where both public and private sectors can speak and try and face these problems in a very real way. Another smart thing that's happening is things like telemedicine, where people that don't have access readily to a doctor on a face-by-face basis can actually use a digital engagement, some digital treatment, diagnosis issues, and then the doctor can actually help them from wherever their practices are. And so we are going to see in the next 10 years that telemedicine becomes a real opportunity for people in rural areas or even busy people to actually access doctors in a non-traditional way, but in a cost-effective way as well.
Now, Craig, beyond hiring, what measures are being considered to restrain, you know, to retain skilled doctors in the public health, I mean, system, given the ongoing migration to private practice or overseas?
It's a very difficult question, and I wish I had the answers in that space. But I think what we have to do here is we have to be careful with conversations like national health insurance, which drives lots of insecurity in that doctor's workforce space. And so we have seen lots of research saying that the one thing that the doctors are mostly concerned about is how national health insurance will affect them. And so in the national health insurance plan, there is no specific attractive package for doctors themselves. And so we have to actually put that together to make sure we can retain doctors and avoid the insecurities that policies like NHI actually create.
Now, Craig, you probably might have comparisons elsewhere and check where this practice is there. I mean, NHI could be something coded differently in another country. But every time when this argument arises, there's this issue of in its present form. Now, maybe you can tell us a different story from Prof. Matt to say the form it is it something, you know, very unfair, or they didn't put pen and thinking on it to suit the environment, and maybe infrastructure wise are we ready?
Yeah, I think there's two parts to that conversation, and the first part where everybody really agrees is the fact that we need a better health system in South Africa. The NHI, how it's drafted, unfortunately follows a system that doesn't allow an equal basis for private sector to actually compete with a national health sector. And that's very different to everything we've seen all throughout the world. In fact, in the budget speech, we saw for the first time small increases in what they call the medical scheme tax rebates. And in other territories where there are national health systems available, they promote and provide big medical scheme or medical expenditure tax deductions for people to go and purchase their own medical cover, that way relieving the obligation from the state to actually pay for that service as well. And so what we really need in South Africa is space for both public and private sector to work alongside each other to improve healthcare for everybody here.
Now, some people are saying that the private sector is very selfish on issues of health. I mean, they stated cases like there would be a machine only in Baragwanath. And when somebody has to ask access that, whilst the machine is in the area in Bloemfontein, just around somewhere there, you know, 3 blocks away, this person must be ferried into Baragwanath to just get the treatment and face the 450 kilometers back home. So where is this issue? I mean, is there a part that public sector can play to say we can remedy this environment?
It's a great example, Colin, because the issue there is that if the individuals go into a state facility, let's say if they're in Bloemfontein, and they need access to the machine being an MRI machine, and that's only available in Baragwanath, then usually the state will get transport for the person to go through to Baragwanath and go utilize the machine. Whilst in Bloemfontein, there's probably 10 machines in the private sector that are only utilized 50 or 60%. So why not approach the private sector and say, look, it would have cost us this in the public sector. We're willing to fund this if they could use the machine in the same city. And those are the type of platforms we need to actually create.
And why can't you guys find each other? Is this arrogance or whatsoever?
I think for a long time we've been trying to engage and create platforms with the Minister of Health and the Department of Health to make sure we push through these public-private partnerships. There has been lots of reasons why it's not, and it's difficult to actually put your finger on it. Sometimes it's political will. It's the distrust that the private sector is going to try just profiteer from the public sector's failures, etc. The private sector themselves, and I'll speak on behalf of even a medical scheme like ours, is it's so expensive to access healthcare for many of our members. We pay far too much for it. And so we need to find a way to try and buy services together and make it far more efficient. And the possibilities are there. So what we need to do is just build the platforms of trust. And we haven't yet been able to get there because of perhaps the egos, the lack of political will, the private sector agendas. We need to get through that.
So let's go back to the budget intention, Craig. I mean, it looks like money is never a problem. Should the problem then be, you know, the issue of having to lose so much of this money to administrative, you know, bottlenecks or maybe mismanagement?
Yeah, we have to actually bring the administrative costs down. I mean, we've seen the corruption and the failures in the public sector. We've seen how expensive things are in the private sector. We actually have to make a concerted effort to look after the resources carefully, manage the infrastructure properly, and then create these platforms of trust where we can work together and actually handle the healthcare inflation problem that we have in South Africa. But remember, this is the same problem that everybody in the world is actually struggling with. In fact, even in the private sector, seen as very expensive in South Africa, compared to some of our other countries in the developing world, we are way cheaper than what you can access healthcare in those countries in the private setting. And so we have got assets and we just need to use them smartly.
Now, could stronger collaborations between public healthcare and restricted medical schemes help bridge gaps in specialist access and affordability?
Yeah, specifically for specialists, I think it's the biggest problem that we have in the country is how do we grow the specialist grouping. And I think even in the training of specialists, there are fewer specialists being trained. And so I think the private sector has to look for opportunities to support the training in the public sector, as much as the public sector, I think, has to start consider trying to allow the private sector to train those specialists as well, because that's how you fill that supply gap that we currently are seeing. So all specialists in the country currently are only trained in the public sector and not the private sector, and I think there is room to stretch that across and widen the ability to train specialists.
What realistic timelines should you know, the working South Africans expect before this budget allocation translate into shorter waiting times and clinics at the clinics and hospitals?
Yeah, the trick is to try and make sure that as soon as the budget is allocated, that there is a very real allocation down to where the services are provided and not getting stuck in the administration space. And so typically we've seen in the public sector allocations, the health budgets are then allocated down to the provinces and the provinces then manage the allocation then to the services where they are needed the most. And in that allocation, there's lots of inefficiency, lots of mismanagement, and that needs to change going forward.
Now, is there any scope, Craig, within this budget for investment in digital health solutions, such as the telemedicine or maybe electronic health records, that could ease pressure on physical facilities?
Yeah, we've seen the theme of electronic health records throughout the world be used to reduce the number of tests that are required because the tests have already happened in another setting. So if you go to a doctor a month later and they can actually pick up your blood results that previously you've had, then they won't ask for the blood results to actually be done again. And so that type of electronic health record is an important point to have both in the public sector and the private sector. The private sector has struggled to get that right. And I know there is specific efforts now and spoken of in the budget that the electronic patient record or health record needs to be one of the key strategic deliverables going forward. It is a very difficult thing to get right, but we hope that that will happen in the public sector.
Now,
some of the medical schemes themselves already have electronic health records in place.
And how can the budget allocation be leveraged to expand preventive health programs, especially for lifestyle-related conditions affecting young professionals?
Yeah, one of the big things that we that ProfMed runs every year is a stress index. So we've noted within our own population group that there's a growing problem of mental health conditions that are occurring between the ages of 15 and 35. And it's double what it was 5 years ago. And so we have a growing issue that's long-term stress, anxieties, etc., are resulting in long-term mental health diagnoses as well. And so this is a growing pandemic we have to address and make sure that we can manage. Now, one of the things to do is not to wait until it's diagnosed by a psychologist and you're on medicines to manage it, etc. We need to see the early signs, whether you aren't sleeping well, whether you're becoming largely dependent on substances, both legal and illegal substances. How are your relationships working? Do you have work-life balance? These are key things for people to already watch out early on in their careers, especially for professionals who want to progress their careers and may be frustrated because the economy isn't great. And so these things build in a very real way until such time as you develop major depression and other mental health conditions, and then you need to have professional care. So we're trying to get to the space where we're helping people identify their stress levels early, help them and promote exercise and healthy behaviors, good sleeping habits, and in that way stop the progression of mental health diseases that we've seen happen in the country.
Now, just as a parting shot, given past frustrations with service delivery, what signals should South Africans look for to know that this budget is truly improving healthcare outcomes, not just funding headlines?
Yeah, I think we have to hold people accountable where we see services not being provided like they should be, budgets not being spent like they should be. I think the levels of accountability, and I include both the public and the private sectors in that, make sure that you're looking and holding people accountable for what they're spending. We don't have the resources to waste, and so I gather it goes into the clinics where people are queuing. Make sure that we know what the problems are. Speak to your local councillors to make an issue of it. Hold the politicians accountable. Hold even the private sector CEOs like myself accountable for the services you're getting. Make sure that if you're paying for the service and your taxes are paying for the service, whether it's VAT or income tax, we're all paying for the services, whether it's public sector or private. We're paying for the services. We need people to account for what we're paying for.
Beautiful.
And hopefully we get the right health outcomes for ourselves.
Craig Comrie, CEO of ProfMed, thank you so much for coming through.